Today on Talk About That, I give my dog table food and wonder if I'm too old for TikTok. Meanwhile, John claims he never cheated in school, but learns he has something in common with a serial killer. Also, we read a list of 10 cognitive distortions and ponder why we suffer from all of them. Today's episode is not sponsored by Christmas Sweaters for Cats. It's the most festive way to abuse your pet. Let's go.
Another Monday, another round of comical and intellectual stylings with John and Johnny.
You're really overselling this thing. Yeah,
I don't know how much intellectual you're going to get.
No. But, or comical, for that matter.
You'll get some comedic things
out of
you.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, yeah. They say.
I like Christmas time. I feel like you're very cynical against it, aren't you?
I'm not cynical. I did read this tweet today that said something like, they don't wish people happy holidays because not the holidays aren't happy for everybody or something like that. It was like they said, I wish you a gentle holiday.
Okay.
Which is more like, I hope there's peace.
Yeah.
You know, because some people just have, you know, trauma associated with these days, or they're apprehensive about going home with their family for whatever reason or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Sometimes I think the internet's too weird about that stuff. Like, you post a thing and people go like, you didn't cover this one.
Right.
You know, you didn't talk about everybody. So I'm going to like call you out on it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those weird things of like,
I think Acuff said that he was like, if you post like, I like oranges, people were like, my dad's allergic to oranges. How could you be so insensitive? You know? So that's not, you know, somebody says Merry Christmas, I just say Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
But I think there is something to it, like where you have to, you recognize there's like, there's a lot of pain this time of year for some people, and it's a great way to start the show.
Yeah.
By the way, we always wait till the end to do this, but if you want to support the show, talkaboutthatpodcast.com. All the episodes are archived there.
Yeah.
We're glad to provide that. The show is free, but if you want to support the show, it helps us make more things, and we purchased some equipment. We're actually got some things on the move. We're going to be doing some cool things in the new year. And so this helps us do things like that.
I don't know if you guys think we say that all the time.
Yeah.
But we're for real this time.
Yeah. But if you want to do that, talkaboutthatpodcast.com. We always wait till the end of the show to do that. And so I wanted to put it up front because I know sometimes people are just like, here we go. They're in their spiel.
So does that mean we have to do it at the end still?
Yeah, we'll do it front, okay. Back, and then somewhere in the middle. Do it again. It's just, there'll be an 800 number scrolling on the new video when we start the video. That'd be great. So. But anyway, so yeah, we have some things on the move, and so you can follow us on talkaboutthatpodcast.com and learn more about the show, and if you want to go back and listen, binge, if you will.
Yeah.
People are binging on the holidays.
Let me tell you, Johnny, you saw
a plate of cookies in every room. That's how you...
I attacked that loaf of bread at lunch today like it had done something bad to my family.
Yeah.
Like it was, man.
You...
I guess if someone did something bad to my family, I probably wouldn't attack them like I would a loaf of bread.
That'd be weird.
It'd be different.
Be a weird move.
Come here, put this butter on you. You know, like, but
it's not the same. Not the same move.
It's not an apples to apples comparison. But
I did a video last night on TikTok because we have a fascinating ritual that's going on in my house right now. My dog Toby. We have two dogs, Toby and Daisy. Toby has these two hot spots. Do you know what hot spots are on a dog? It's where like a dog gets a little
bit of...
Is
that where you get good Wi-Fi coverage?
Yeah. It's like my dog. So no, they get like a little like whatever itchy place and then they bite on it and lick on it and it gets infected and then it gets worse and worse because they can't stay away from it.
Yeah.
So you have to go get them on antibiotics.
Come on, guys.
And you got to put... Won't that preach?
Isn't that just like our
lives?
Like
a dog returns to its hot spot.
Yeah.
So does the so fool return to
the
his...
So saith the
psalm. Fool to his folly. Anyway, we had to put the cone of shame on, which wasn't a real cone. It was like the... it looks like a life preserver.
Okay.
And so you put it around his neck.
It's a donut pillow of shame.
It's a donut pillow like you'd sit on when you break your coccyx. And so he can't reach his tail and his like back, his rear flank is where this one bad place was getting. So we take him to the doctor, the vet, and not my doctor. It's a different doctor. He has his own. And what are you doing with that dog in here? No, so they put this, they gave us all this stuff, and so he has to take pills. So the pill ritual is kind of funny because I learned this a long time ago. When you pill a dog, there's tricks to do it. Like we've done peanut butter, we've done all these things. We wrapped it in ham. That's what we've been doing. We take like cold cuts, you wrap it in ham, give the dog the ham. He just eats the ham. But then the other dog, Daisy, dogs, and I learned this, dogs have an innate sense of fairness.
Oh, yeah.
And so if they see one dog getting something, the dog immediately to attention, like, all right. So one time I'll test her. Like if I give Toby a chip and then I give Toby another chip, she's like, what are you doing? She gives me that look like you're messing up the rotation. So I did a video last night to kind of talk about that whole thing because Daisy like waits for her ham because she gets the ham without the pill, obviously. And she makes these ham noises, like anticipatory ham noises, like a grunt. It's really weird. It's almost like an awake snore. It's like ham is coming. It's disgusting and very Jabba of the Hutt. But my favorite part about the whole thing was, and what I said on the end of the video was that my favorite thing is to think that Toby is somewhere like, yeah, I had these horrible sores on my backside, but I've been eating ham and it's clearing up. Like the idea that dogs, that's his mindset.
Yeah.
Like I think when I get in the car to go somewhere without them, they always think that I'm going to the park or to McDonald's because when we go out together, I take them to the park and sometimes I take them to McDonald's and we get a double cheeseburger. I'm a bad pet owner because every now and again, I'll get them a double cheeseburger to eat. And so, and then I realize like they freak out when I leave the house without them. And I think it's because they think every time I leave the house, I'm going to the park and to McDonald's.
Right. That's all you
without
do.
Without them. Yeah. That's all I do.
And I mean, it's probably 50% of what you do.
It is. It's a but, lot.
Why did I hear somewhere you're not supposed to feed dogs pork?
Pork?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know that.
And grapes. You're not supposed to feed them grapes. Grapes or chocolate.
Grapes and chocolate is definitely one. Yeah. And there's some kind of nuts that you don't feed them. But I've never heard pork.
Well,
I hope it's not pork because we've given our dogs bacon like too many times to. Nobody said it on the. I kept waiting on that for the video, by the way. Like when you post a video like
how
that, where you're
giving.
Yeah, it's like. People did say, do peanut butter. This is how you pill a dog or whatever.
Interesting to me that you're using pill as a verb.
Here's how you pill your dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about give your dog a pill? Like, I didn't know you could, like,
I think it's because that's what they call it at vet clinics, and that's, my wife worked at a vet clinic for years.
Okay.
So it's like an inside language.
First of all, I just didn't tell you peel a dog. I was like, that's,
hey,
don't.
There's more than one way to peel a dog.
What is the one way everyone knows? You know, that's very interesting. So how many TikTok things do you do? You don't do a lot of TikTok.
No. I'm just trying to get into it. I was like, you know, this is a funny little like thing. And it's like a very window into my life. And so I thought, I'll just post this. And
so
we'll see.
It's interesting because so believe it or not, guys, there really are some
It went viral, by the way, and I've already monetized that clip.
Johnny's already outgrown the podcast.
I quit the show.
This is the last show, yeah. We sat down at lunch today. I was like, so I've met with some people about the podcast and you're out.
Yeah, it was a tough.
Brought in another comedian and another me. We are meeting with some new partners actually and doing some like huge, huge changes to the podcast. We're additions. We're not, Johnny, we're never going to lose that lovable.
Bart Durham is a sponsor now. Maybe you heard of him. That's a very Nashville inside
very
joke.
Nashville thing,
He's the local like.
Injury attorney. Yeah.
I don't want to say ambulance chaser, but.
Well, Bart Durham.
I don't think I can hurt Bart Durham at this point. He's doing okay.
Let me tell you something. He looks on the commercials like either he's been sick or he's like 112. Like, I can't tell. But
I don't think that's his natural hair color.
I don't think so.
It's a very bright red, and he looks like the Crypt Keeper.
I mean, he looks nice. He's always.
He looks like a nice person. I'm sure he's done a lot to help people.
I don't know.
I don't have anything against Bart Durham. I think he needs to get someone else to represent his commercials at this point.
Well, I don't know.
There comes a time when you age out.
What
do you think?
No, I'm doing this forever. But somebody was back to the TikTok thing. I was meeting with one of our creative partners that are kind of advising us, consulting and helping us along with some things. And Jeffrey and Allie were in the meeting as well. And everybody, because I'm talking to multiple people on some platform things right now, and they're all like, yeah, you should do TikTok, you know. And when it came down to it, everyone in the room who also had their own sort of platforms, they all admitted that none of them do TikTok because they're all intimidated by it.
Right.
I think people of our generation are very much like, I'm going to be the boomer. Like if I do this, I'm really proud of you. You put a TikTok video up because I think nothing's more like Instagram all day. It's fine. But TikTok's like, oh man, I'm in the younger generation's world here.
Yeah.
Don't look, even though it's all stupid. Don't look stupid. What if I don't look stupid enough?
Yeah,
that looks stupid.
I don't know. You know? There's definitely people my age that are doing it. They have a niche or they have a whatever.
Do you say niche or niche?
niche?
Do you ever say niche? Some people say that.
I think niche is
wrong.
You just
find your niche. And I'm like,
I think niche is wrong.
I'm intimidated to use that word. We talk about all the things I'm intimidated about.
But to your point about getting older and like, he's like, I was going to do this. Like, it's our Bart Dura moment where we just go like, look, I'm the face of this. I'm doing this forever. I do think it's interesting. Like, so Curry's dad.
It's on TikTok.
Curry's dad is either taking, I think he may be taking CBD now, or he's giving CBD to her mom who has chronic pain. Anyway, it's just fascinating to me that old people are just like, all right, CBD is a thing that we're not going to demonize anymore. And the favorite part was he said, this is the CBD that Charles Stanley sells.
What?
And I said, this can't be, because I remember seeing like a Facebook ad and it said, it had Charles Stanley's face on and it said, blah, 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 when I retired from the ministry, blah, blah. And I was like, they're going to get so sued. Charles Stanley is not selling CBD. And it's true, evidently. Like, there is a Charles Stanley endorsed CBD.
So it's not like his own CBD. He's an endorser.
He's an endorser of it. And so it's just so funny that like a guy who probably in the early part of his ministry just demonized every whatever. And now he's just like, hey, I retired from the ministry. Let's all go do pain management somewhere. And so now other old people are like, well, I trust Charles Stanley. He wouldn't lead me wrong. And so they're taking CBD because Charles Stanley said it was the good stuff.
Charles Stanley does not strike me as someone who would be, again, it's a household name. Like, I'm not saying he's not, but doesn't strike me as someone who would do endorsements of any sort.
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see, I mean, unless it was like a book endorsement, you know, or something.
Yeah.
But not a product endorsement.
I'm going to look up to make sure that I'm not like besmirching his name, because maybe my dad thinks it's Charles Stanley and like somebody's selling him a line of bag of goods or whatever, bill of goods, if you will.
Yeah.
I'm looking up Charles Stanley.
CBD.
Okay, let's see. Cannabis gummies with fruit. Dr. Charles Stanley. Yeah.
Wow,
I don't know how he's connected to it,
but there's a connection.
But there's something going on.
The internet said it. We don't know exactly.
They would never write anything that wasn't true. Right.
Interesting.
Oh, and then there's an article right below this that says Charles Stanley : not selling CBD.
Oh,
so I don't know. Posts falsely tie evangelical leader to camp. So here's the thing.
So now they bought the product.
For whatever reason, they bought this thinking it was Charles Stanley. I don't know. I'm going to call Curry's dad today and be like, you're just getting high for nothing. I hate to tell you this, but you're going straight to hell.
Charles Stanley called. He said, no.
That'd be great. He spits out the gummy.
You know, that'd be interesting. I wonder if we could just act like someone's endorsing us.
Yeah.
Get movement on it.
And then when they come issue a letter, like, well, I don't know why he would have been so
we'll be like, look,
up in arms about
but
it.
But we've gained 20,000 more followers. If you want in on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then we invite him to the table.
Yeah, now you're a real endorser. I wonder how many times that's happened.
Huh.
What was the movie? Shoot. Actually, it was The Morning Show. Apple TV.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Not a sponsor.
Apple Plus. She gets up and there's... They've lost the co-host. You know, it's just supposed to be like Good Morning America.
Yeah.
Or the Today Show, I think.
Yeah, the Matt Lauer scandal.
And like at this like awards thing, she announces her own co-host without the network knowing, but there's nothing the network can do now.
Yeah. She took the power.
Like
They can't kill the story.
Right.
Yeah.
It's now a huge story and they would look like fools, like they don't have control of their anchor, which they don't. But they have to... You know, keep playing the game. So that's what we need to do. We need to find the endorser and go ahead and make the power play. Take the power away and say, hey, let's pick somebody.
Take the ball away, go back the other way, take the ball away. Hey.
Yeah, pick one.
Is that what you're going to do to me?
Bart Durham.
You're going to announce a new co-host just to blindside me?
Hey, Johnny's excited with me right here.
Yeah, you just bring somebody in like it's the Maury Povich show.
Gosh, that'd be great. And he's right outside the room. And then you guys get up, and I have some big bouncer in here that separates you. God, that'd be great.
You've packed my stuff into a box.
One of the things we can say, and we weren't going to tease this, but this would be interesting if this scenario were to happen in the future, because we are highly it's highly probable we're going to add some level of a video component to the podcast soon. Mm-hmm. So could you imagine if we did stuff like that?
I would need to fix my hair today. I look a little
I was
wild.
Thinking here what people would be looking at.
I look a little wild today. I got
a little haggard. Well, you're a road comic, bro.
But I'm not on the road right now. I'm home.
This is what it's like.
I'm home and I have a shower and everything. Yeah. I have the means to.
Are we going to dress up if we do that? I don't know.
I think people want to see us.
We come in pretty haggard a lot on the podcast. It's like we run in and, you know, I would say.
Probably will need to be an element of. No. I'm not going to put on makeup or anything.
No. Bro, just all natural. We're going exactly as we are.
They have filters on these things. They can clean us up. Put a little Clarendon on us.
I'm sure. A little what?
Clarendon.
His
filter names are always. Somebody said that the other day that they went to. You know, you go to a white private school when all of your classmates' first names sound like Instagram filters. It was something like Whitmire. It was like
Sierra
Emerson. Bro. Yeah. Sierra.
That's great. Oh, by the way, I was up in the attic getting stuff out.
Speaking of white privilege. You and your attic.
I came across all of my yearbooks.
Oh, yeah.
Brought them down. If I think my senior ones.
Oh, you showing them to Sadie?
Oh, yeah. We looked through.
Look how cool your daddy was.
Look at this, Sade. She's all into that stuff.
You were class president, though.
I was.
That's got to be.
I was class
that's
president.
A legacy.
I was class president every year but my freshman year. And that's when I ran on a ticket for student council as the only freshman running, and my ticket lost. But that really was not me, Johnny. I was just one of the guys on the ticket.
Right, that's about the party.
So that's
platform.
When I took my political career back into my own hands and made sure I was running for president every time.
You've got to do it.
It was like Scarlett O'Hara. Like I shall never be unelected again. Like as God is my witness. Like it was one of those kinds of. Actually, I don't think it was, but. Yeah. It was just trying to get my resume built up. So
I hope as a high school freshman you referred to it as a Scarlett O'Hara moment just to see the other kids go like, what is this guy doing?
What?
We picked the wrong candidate.
I did join every club possible. That was a funny thing. Okay, so we're going to count how many clubs on Club Picture Day. You know Steven, who's my college roommate in my wedding, you know, hilarious guy. He's an attorney in Nashville now and very just brilliant, brilliant guy. And I mean, I kind of wish you were more like him, to be honest with you. Now, I just described him. I was like, "Wow, what a really cool friend!"
Why isn't he on the show?
And so, Steven and I would get into all the pictures.
Yeah,
like this is a huge, you know, club picture, and make faces or make some sort of funny, you know. Mm-hmm. And now looking back, it's like I sent myself a joke 25 years into the future.
Yeah,
I'm like I really did. I was laughing. It's like I remember that. It was very. I don't know.
So there's a story
immature.
Of a guy who did that. He tried to get on every club picture.
Yeah.
In his high school, and it was a big joke of like he would just show up the day of the photo, and it was his big prank. And you know who that was?
Who?
Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm not kidding.
Oh, wow.
Like I've seen a documentary about Jeffrey Dahmer, and there's also a movie they made called like My Friend Dahmer, and it's about like his high school, the high school version of him when he first committed his first murders, and like his high school friends. He was known as like a big prankster, and that's one of the things they did. They went around and like. We should join the chess team just for that one day and get on the. So there's all these photos where the schools have had to go back and like whitewash his history and like.
I was actually a member of the club. I just didn't remember all of them. And I did.
What I'm saying is, John, tell me where you were on the days of.
The number of people I killed
right.
would not be anywhere near the number that
no.
I killed.
No.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But that is interesting. So you and Jeffrey Dahmer have that in common. That and people would always be like, John was such a nice guy. They always said that about. He's such a nice guy. That's why Todd Hawkins, who used to manage me back in the day when I was touring with Tim a ton, he managed Tim as well, his brother, and he's a genius business guy. But he used to say, like, he forbid anybody in the office to refer to anyone as nice. Like, if they're working with a client, oh, this seems like a great place for Tim to go do a show. They're such nice people. He'd be like, really? Give me something.
Yeah.
Like he was like, whenever someone is a serial killer, the neighbors always say, he was such a nice guy.
Yeah.
He was like, he would take that adjective out of the equation.
That's funny.
And we've talked about that before, like with the Shepherd's Guide or like if somebody shows up at your house and they're like, I'm a Christian painter. You're like, but can you paint?
Right.
You know, I'm a Christian plumber. Does the toilet go like this or go like this? Like, does the water go down?
Yeah.
When you flush?
I had someone the other day, and I'll be very vague just in case.
Oh, boy.
But I had someone that I had to have a difficult conversation with about a service that they're providing that's, you know.
Wow, this is super vague.
A part of a financial arrangement. And to have that talk, and they did, they kind of responded with, after I finally, it was nice about it, but like, hey, this has to work differently, okay? Mm-hmm. And they responded like with telling me their testimony as well.
Yeah.
And it was like because they know I'm a believer and all those things, and they know I'm a pastor, and I'm always honored to hear somebody's story in that. Really, really was. And maybe it gave context even to, I don't know if it gave any context to why things weren't going as well as I wanted them to, but the connection's always good. But I did feel like, you know, there's a moment in time if I feel like
it's being manipulated.
Right.
If I'm
washing your car, it's great that I'm a believer. You know, also, mm-hmm. if you're paying me to do it, you're probably just going to make sure I do that as well. So
you rejecting him that day is now a part of his testimony, which is the best part. You're right. Like, and then other people rejected me. you're a layer in his story. No, that's a big rule. Like when we talk to like people who do church market comedy, like I do like, what you call, like some people would call it Christian comedy. I really don't like that. I feel like when people hear Christian comedy, they think it's like safe, or they feel like it's going to be very vanilla and boring. So I really don't market myself that way. But I do a lot of work in churches, and so that's fine. However people market me. But when I'm talking to like a young person who wants to get into that, a young comic, I'm always like, that's the one rule we always talk about. If you're bombing, do not go into your testimony. Just sit there and bomb.
Yeah.
Like, don't look for the escape hatch.
Yeah. You know? Oh, that's so funny.
You're just hurting the entire genre when you do that.
If I think I've grown a little bit as a speaker. If I ever felt like I've lost them, what I used to do was just dig in harder, try to explain it more.
Right. Or blame them for not being like if it's kids, when you're a youth pastor, you're like, you guys need to focus. You know, it's like instead of they're going, be more interesting. You're like, no, this is on you.
I don't think I did that very much.
It's your dumb devices. You're on your phones. You didn't even have that, really.
I'm serving a hot meal spiritually.
When did you stop youth pastoring versus when the iPhone and smartphones?
Oh, I can remember.
Did you get out by the skin of your teeth before it became like a really pervasive thing?
I can remember when we had graduated a couple huge classes, seventh grade through seniors.
Yeah.
And it was emotional. Like, and it was like seeing your kids walk off to, you know, the next stage of life and, oh, you know, here we go. And I remember being down there and I had predominantly middle schoolers. And I remember a bunch of them texting while I was talking. And that was very, very new.
Yeah.
Because you remember our kids. I mean, we had kids who'd goof up and stuff. But you'd have 100 kids in there. I could preach straight from Hebrews for 45 minutes. And I'd be telling jokes and fart stories and stuff in between. Just like the writer of Hebrews does.
That's right. It's already in there for you.
But they'd do that. And then we'd go into the next room, me and 35 teenage leaders. Uh-huh. And we'd talk about how the night went, and they were like truly in, you know. I mean, they were kids, and we all screwed everything up, made mistakes and stuff, but they were like excited to be there. And I just remember like, I wasn't used to not being able to hold them because of a device. Uh-huh. And I thought this might be time, like, I don't know what to do with this. Because I don't want to be the guy up there, you know, just going off.
Out or taking up people's phones.
I mean, you almost would have to be.
Yeah.
These days, like, if you really want, hey guys, if we're going to have a real conversation in a circle, I would. I'd be like, we're going to put the phones in this bin.
And I don't know how you keep, if you're a teacher, how you not just keep their attention, how do you keep them from cheating with the phone?
Well,
like, I know that that's the thing, because people just look it up on Google or whatever.
From what I hear among kids today, Johnny,
tell me what the kids are saying on the street.
Cheating is just rampant. It's not even considered like wrong.
Huh.
I have to, you know, Sadie doesn't cheat. But I'll tell her, like, when I'll see what other kids or hear about other kids or hear from other parents. And because you're right, the devices are all this. I just go, honey, I just want to remind you in case you ever forget, because apparently every school in America, these kids are all just cheating like crazy. And it's just kind of normal that's not okay. Like, just because it's common or normal doesn't make it right. Mm. So come on now, guys. So just, you know, that's still lying. I mean, you're still giving an answer that's not yours.
Right. Because it used to be you'd get the kid, you would cheat off if you had somebody, you'd sit next to somebody smart.
Right.
you'd look off their paper. But now you have the smartest kid in the world in your pocket.
Right. And so right next to your phone.
Because I would. Oh, wait. That's right. It's a tiny kid that you carry around with you.
Free the tiny kid, 2021.com.
So, but yeah, so I would always be. I'm trying to remember if I've ever cheated. Maybe once or twice I looked off somebody's paper in a panicked moment. I was pretty good at taking tests, though.
Yeah.
Because I had a good memory. I don't know that I comprehended everything. My comprehension wasn't necessarily great, but I could vomit it back out. Yeah. Could hold it in the next day, put it on paper, and I had little mnemonic devices that I had developed by the time I was in high school.
John, I have a whole college career based off of exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. And I could do that, and then, and now when I read, it's to like, I want to learn. I want to be like, oh, this is something I didn't know, and now I know it. Yeah. But back then it was just like, just get through this horrible moment and get the grade on my paper.
Yeah.
And so my parents don't yell at me or whatever it is. You're terrified of failing or whatever.
Yeah.
But I would procrastinate. I mean, I've always been a procrastinator, and I still am that for sure. I never really grew out of that. I'm all about like, if somebody gives me a deadline, I can produce. But if I'm just left to my own devices, like, oh, you have a month to get ready for this test? All right. Well, I'll see you in about 29 days.
Yeah. It's funny. That reminded me of the endorsement book when you said that, by the way. And it's apropos for this conversation. Remember the whole endorsement versus outdoorsman language?
Yeah.
And for the outdoorsman, being left his own devices just means he's, you know, allowed to
get on all of his devices, which is what kids are right now, and that's why they're cheating.
Endorsement's
that's why
left is on
the Sadie's going to be summa cum laude, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, well, she's got the new.
Right. She can't spell dog or whatever, so.
But her iPhone can. She just dictates it into the...
I will say when I help her with math, when they say, and I understand why, because I was a math teacher, but you can't use a calculator. I will turn to her and say, Sadie, there's never going to be a moment in your entire life where you can't use a calculator unless your plane crashes somewhere and you're stranded. Like, you will always have a calculator.
Yeah.
You will always have a phone, a watch, whatever.
If your plane crashes, it'd be great to be able to be like, well, at least I still got this calculator. I mean, sure.
I don't know what you're going to need it for.
Sure, I've got two broken legs.
Okay, but I want five coconuts off of this tree times. Yeah, just carry the five, use, yeah. It's one of those things, like, you're always going to have this device. Yeah. Same thing with handwriting. Why do we, like, my handwriting is atrocious.
Yeah.
You can't read it. And I write for a living.
So
it doesn't matter.
I want to know if John Driver has ever cheated in school.
No, I didn't cheat.
Did you ever let anybody cheat off you?
No, not intentionally.
Yeah.
If I saw an answer or something, the thing was, I was unhealthily terrified of displeasing God on things like that.
Oh, right, okay.
And plus, I generally was going to make a pretty good grade. I was like you, like, I would cram things in and, I wanted to see how I could do. Like, it was almost, I'd rather beat myself. I want to compete against how I've studied, see how this goes out. But that's not a righteousness thing, Johnny, because I wasn't. I'm just saying.
Yeah, John, you're very gifted. Must be great. So this is about speaking about like things that you have hangups in your head. I read this Twitter thread and I wanted to go over it today because I thought it was something we could talk about. It's this guy named Blake Burge, and he posts these little threads with tips on it every week. It's really interesting. Like, Twitter can be such a cesspool, but every and again, there's people who post like helpful things.
Yeah.
So this guy posts a few threads a week. This one says, your mind can be your worst enemy, but it's not your fault. Cognitive distortions, and he capitalized cognitive distortions, like it's a category, I don't know, are to blame. Here are 10 to be aware of, learn from, and overcome. So this one's, the first one is all or nothing thinking. You see things in black and white, no shades of gray, no middle ground. You focus on extremes. For example, good or bad, success or failure, outstanding or terrible. But reality lies in the middle.
Dude, I always do that.
All or nothing, yeah. I never do that. I think that's an interesting thing, too, when you have, like, if you ever talk to, like, somebody who does marriage counseling or something, they say don't do always and never statements.
Oh, I teach that.
Yeah, because that's a very – and I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
You always do this. We never, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, that. It's not true, but it.
No.
It's just your way of like getting their attention, I guess.
It's a very wounding thing. Laura and I came up, that no one taught me that. Laura and I figured that out the hard way. Mm-hmm. Like, gosh, you keep saying we always, you always, and it hurts, you know. It was like, oh, okay, you're right. So, yeah.
So that was one. So all or nothing. Overgeneralization. the belief that a single occurrence or event correlates to future events playing out in a similar fashion. I got fired leads to I'll never keep a job. If I fail a test, I'll always get bad grades.
Yeah.
Whatever. And so one misstep equals this broad pattern in your mind. If you make one mistake, it's going to lead to this. Yeah, by the way, I do all of these, so I'm really concerned about my...
Yeah, we call that tornado thinking.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy for all... Actually, Sadie and I are the two who really do it. And that is, yeah, some two bad things now turns into 10 in my mind.
Right.
And I put it all
it's
together.
It's a system, yeah.
The world's... I will, in an unhealthy state, really begin to believe that... In fact, I had to write in my daily declarations that... And remind myself, I'm not randomly destined to utterly fail.
Yeah.
Because that's the conclusion of that is this is all against me.
Right,
it's like it sounds narcissistic, but you're just that's how you get if you get negative enough. So
all right, here's one. Mental filtering. This is a distortion where our brain focuses only on the negative aspects of a given situation. We filter out the positive.
I do that too.
Yeah, I think I do that one. I think part of that is because and this sounds like I'm just blaming my job, but you're kind of I have like a what I would call like a BS filter. Where I'm always looking for someone's angle, or I'm always looking for some thing, and I think it's made me filter out positive and only look at like, well, yeah, you're. If somebody comes in and they're all like bright and cheery, I'm just like, what's this guy's deal? Like, it's like I want to wipe the smirk off this guy's face. What's his deal? And that's not good. But there, I definitely do that.
It's one. Also a sixth thing, by the way.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, to not be able to see your successes.
Okay.
It's something I talk to my therapist friend about because I will.
You look for the.
I don't see what
the thing.
I don't see what good I did.
Yeah.
It's always on to the next good thing I need to do.
Yeah. That's in here too, by the way. It's more specific.
Yep.
Mind reading. When we jump to conclusions and assume we know what the other person is thinking. Don't assume you know how someone feels. Ask, be quiet, listen. We could all do better at that. Hmm. Fortune telling, which seems like the same thing, but it says. This distortion manifests in our tendency to worry about what we think might happen.
Yeah.
So it says, stop thinking about all the reasons you know something won't work and focus on why it will.
Interesting.
This one's one I'd never heard before. It's called Heaven's Reward. Have you heard of this?
Uh-uh.
Heaven's Reward is the belief that one's hard work, sacrifice, and effort will result in a specific or just reward. Here's the truth. There are times when no matter what you do, the outcome you desire will not happen, and that's okay. Often the reward is the trip, not the destination. That's really good.
Yeah, no, and that's getting into some there is a sense of we lived that way in this church for a long, long time.
Yeah, it's going to pay off. It's going to whatever.
Yeah, it's coming,
and it's going to pay off in the way that we think it will.
Yeah.
There's a picture in your mind of what it will look like, and anything short of that, it feels like a failure, or we didn't get what we deserved, or whatever.
And you're right. I project such a high utopian outcome. I did that with this book release. I think I talked about it a little bit. There are expectations that are so high that maybe I met 50% of them, which is way higher than anything I have experienced before. But there's still a scarcity mindset of disappointment because it wasn't 100%.
Right. I think when you live in that mindset too, of not just, it's not just a matter of like, well, my hard work will pay off. What it does is it leads to the other belief, which is anyone who has a hardship just must not be working hard.
Yeah.
Like it leads to what libertarianism and conservatism, the root of it is basically like you are getting the fruit of what you are working towards or not working towards. It's a bootstrap mentality. So we think it's all good. Oh, well, we work hard, we get things, but when it doesn't work out, then what? And you're also thinking you're thinking the other extreme about other people. You're not thinking about the outliers who may fall through the cracks while they work five jobs or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. I've never heard of it called Heaven's Reward, though. That's an interesting concept. All right, this one's called should statements. I should be married, I should be wealthier, I should be in better shape. Stop worrying about who you should be and do what you should have done. And what you should have done, odds are you're setting unrealistic standards. Where are you now? How can you improve? So, like, starting where you are, we talked about that with, like, email list gathering today. We talked about, the, like, we need to be gathering email lists and database because, like, social media, you have no control over it.
Right.
But I was saying at lunch, like, the old Chinese proverb, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
Yeah.
Like, just start where you are rather than be like, I should be whatever.
Yeah.
And let that be like this hammer that you hit yourself on the head with every day.
Yeah, I had a meeting this week where a guy was talking to me about that stuff, and I was so upset with myself because of where I drove people on some of my latest interviews this fall. Big exposure, and I didn't drive them in the right spot, maybe.
Yeah.
And there's a sense of I should have. By the way, I've done every one of these.
Right, all of them.
Yeah. Every one of these.
I think it's just a matter of like, are they life controlling?
Yes.
Probably like one or two. Like one or two of them probably are more... you know, intense.
These are the reasons I study the Enneagram and go to therapy. Everything you're saying.
This one's called discounting the positive. Ever have trouble accepting a compliment? Pass off success as merely luck or circumstance? You're discounting. The next time you receive an award or praised for a job well done or are simply told you're good at something, maybe you actually are. And then the next one is catastrophizing, which I'm huge on. The greatest fear most people have is fear of the unknown. When we're unsure what will happen, our mind begins to wander, worry and doubt creep in. We begin to assume the worst. Trust the process. The odds are your worst fears will be realized are slim. The odds that your worst fears will be realized are slim. So, yeah, the horrible thing that you're thinking is like a tiny percent. But if you're letting it dominate your life, now it's this crippling thing that's keeping you from moving forward. Always right. Is another one. This distortion happens when we place the need to be right above all else. We ignore the evidence, dig in our heels, and double down on our position. This is a fool's game. Know what you don't know. Admit when you're wrong. Learn and move forward. So that was the last one. So, yeah, I mean, I think almost everybody that's listening probably has we didn't have names on them.
Yeah.
But they're mind-controlling, mind-altering distortions.
Who was our source again? Let's make sure
it's a guy named Blake Burge.
Okay.
Blake A. Burge is his Twitter account.
Thank you, Blake, for that. I mean, the deal is, I think each one of those in some capacity. I wonder if people who are not in their own heads, I do meet people who are not in their own heads.
Maybe.
Everyone's in their head a little bit, but I wonder if...
when you see people who are like super productive and you just go, what are they doing that I'm not doing?
Well, sometimes they're productive because they're
trying to outrun.
I spent the first 25 to 30 years of my life outrunning those things.
Yeah.
I stay in motion, even with prayer. And I'll say prayer does something to me like a real time that it does seem to put out the fires.
Yeah.
Because part of it is me mentally organizing the problem and articulating it to another.
Yeah.
That's what we do in therapy. So I'm articulating it to one that I trust the most. And I sense immediate peace.
Right, you're releasing it a little bit.
I've said, hey, this is what it is. This is what I'm scared of. This is what I'm worried about. So that's a very, but I did though with busyness and accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I can't get this feeling to go away. Just work harder, and I think there's some, this is what's weird. I was reading a book too by John Mark Comer called Live No Lies. It's a big book right now. And, he makes a comment in there that one of the lies is that you stop believing that you should work hard or that what you do doesn't. You stop believing that it matters.
Yeah.
Because, you can get so deep into our postmodern, pick everything apart, try to figure out all the things you're thinking. I said something to one of our mutual friends who's not traditionally a big fan of the Enneagram. We're having a talk about. It was a really great talk, like 2 hours. He'll know who he is when he listens. And he said something to me. I told him, we were talking about how relationships work and how me helping to know my type or someone else's type allows me to communicate better with them or vice versa or know why I'm triggered by this or whatever. He said, yeah, but I already know that about all my friends. Like, you're putting a type to it and describing it, but you're not describing things I don't already know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's true. You may already know what you guys do, but what you probably don't know is why. That's why I do this. Yes, I'm aware of the patterns of all these things, but I'm trying to discover why, because when I know the motivations behind them, it's a whole different ballgame. Yes, I know my wife over 20 years has done this, and I can just adjust to that and just be like, well, this is what we do. And maybe that may still be the ultimate outcome of the action, but when I understand why she does that, it removes that stinger somewhat from it. Like, she's not just trying to hurt me with it.
Yeah.
Because that's always the assumption. Like, if you loved me, you wouldn't do that. Well, if people are seeing the world literally differently than you see it, and you haven't made room in your mind for the idea they might see the world differently than you, you just assume we all see it the same. And those who are hurting you with their actions or thoughts or words, that they're almost intentionally doing it to you. as opposed to what they're doing is their life and their way. And it might be hurting you, but do you know why? It's not because they were just out to get you usually. Like you said, your worst fears usually don't come true on that. Yeah. It's because they have a different way of seeing what's happening, and your two reactions to those two different ways of seeing the world are, you know, causing friction among themselves. So at least it helps to know why, in my opinion. But you can get into the why. I started the whole diatribe with, you can get into the why too much. Now you're just sitting around all the time in your own head, and you don't go mow the grass or whatever. Like, you're going to have to mow the grass, Johnny. You have to work hard.
I don't want to.
Johnny, go home right now.
It is happening because we have that last warm spell. So you see people mowing in December. It's such a strange thing. They're turning that last cut.
I still have
these straggly wild onions in your yard, the little patches, and you're like, I need to mow those before it gets too cold. And I have this one last day, and I'm not doing it. I'm going to go ride my bike today.
Yeah, and I have leaves in my yard. I need to mulch up one last time.
But yeah.
I don't know, Johnny. What are you going to do, though?
What can you do? But you didn't get any storm damage, though, right?
I did not.
Yeah.
No.
Because I knew we had some people in our church that had some damage. And,
yeah. And thoughts and prayers, man, to our friends in Kentucky and West Tennessee.
Yeah, it's been brutal.
Yeah. It's
My basketball goal fell over. I have one of those that has like the base where you put water in it or whatever.
Yeah.
And it fell over my driveway right where my car would have been, but I was at the airport. My car was at the airport. And so Curry sent me a picture of it, and she was like, yeah, this would have been real bad.
Yeah.
It was like just crashed down. And it's gone. The rim is all bent up. So
did you haul it off?
No, it's still there. I've tipped it back up, and I'm just waiting for it to blow over again.
This is right before you asked me to borrow my truck. That's what's coming
can
next. I'm going to strap it to the roof of your hybrid, and I can tell you that.
No. I got two. Our cars are all tiny now. Yeah. Well, they're not tiny, but they're just not. They're not really made for hauling stuff in.
No. Well, you have a friend you could use. I mean, borrow.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Hey.
See what it did there?
I know you didn't say that to hurt me. That's just you living your life.
That's how you see the world.
I don't know enough about you.
And it's wrong.
You're deflecting. You're using humor to deflect your actual intense problem with me borrowing your truck.
See, I rarely ever do that. That's the thing. I won't make a joke with you unless it's a real joke. I hate passive-aggressive humor. Like, it is my – I will call it out. If I think – I will look at him and go – Laura called me out on one yesterday. She's like, oh, I was just joking back. She's, no, I can tell by your tone.
Oh, okay.
You know, that there was a little bit more to it.
Right.
And because it drives me crazy. I would much rather, you know, I don't do small talk very well. And so, like, it's just like a, no. So, Johnny, you're welcome to my truck anytime. I actually don't mind at all. I would never joke with you if I really bothered.
If any of our listeners want to borrow John's truck.
Guys, yeah. Just send an email to john@johndriver.truck.
Sure.
Yeah.
We need to have that as a level in the Patreon. Or you could be like, you give a certain amount and you get access to the truck.
For $200 a month, you could borrow my truck three times any given month.
Need to haul off an old recliner? Well, look, I'm going to call in a favor here.
Now, I live in Wisconsin.
That's right.
Yeah, that's funny. That's very funny. Hey, listener, we hope you've enjoyed the time. Because we have, haven't we, Johnny? We've enjoyed this
time. We always
do.
It's a great time. Yeah. And thanks so much for being a part of the show and supporting and just listening. Because we hear from you guys so much, and I have friends who listen and friends who just like, they've become friends because they're listeners. That's pretty neat. And they've been reaching out and say they really enjoy the show. And it's been a tough year and a half or so for a lot of people. And we appreciate that we've been a part of your journey in whatever way. So thanks for listening, you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Go and leave us. We actually have quite a few reviews on, I know, the Apple podcast app. And so
do that. It helps people find the show.
Have give us a rating or review. That'd be great. Don't think that your voice doesn't matter, because it does. You can also go and review my book if you've read it.
NotSoBlackAndWhiteBook.com.
Yeah. Not so black and white.
You don't even know.
I don't remember. But yeah, check it out. Go to Amazon and you can leave us a review there, or a rating. If you don't have time to write a whole review, that'd be fine. But if Johnny still has a 5-star rating, we did get our first 2-star.
Oh, man.
But it was just a rating, not a review. Oh. But they're like all 5 stars and like a 3-star and a 2-star.
For the book?
Yeah. But it's average, still shows 5-star.
Okay.
So,
So you can't, you're saying it's like, you can't be defeated by these people and their
I'm
negativity.
I'm saying, like, there's not.
Your negative energy is just making us stronger. Okay, listeners?
Oh, man, that's funny. That's funny. But yeah.
Strike me down and I will become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. But seriously, leave a 5-star.
Yeah, but seriously.
We need your help.
Yeah, go and check it out. We appreciate that. We're having important conversations in that book. So you can also check out all of Jolly's comedy on Drybar, Amazon, anywhere comedy TikTok. Is sold. Yeah, he's all over TikTok now. Did you hear about it? He's not intimidated at all.
I'm hip. I'm with it.
Come watch Johnny poison his dog on TikTok. Well, guys, thank you for giving us a few moments. We'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
In a recent survey, parents reported that 52% of homeschooled children need learning accommodations. These parents need practical advice, encouragement, and hope to fuel their homeschooling efforts. The Empowering Homeschool Conversations podcast is where parents gain wisdom on how to teach unique learners successfully at home, like Laura, who recently told us, "I needed this episode. I don't need a fancy curriculum or need to be a special ed teacher to teach my son. You have given me hope." To listen now, go to Life Audio or search Empowering Homeschool Conversations on your favorite podcast app.